You are now listening to the greatest podcast on planet Earth, Sports Cypher Podcast, where we diagnose, debate, and dissect sports. Cypher up.
Jersey stand up and I'm in the building.
What's good, y'all? This is Ricardo, a.k.a. Maximum, a.k.a. Cardo, a.k.a. the guy with all the a.k.a.s. You are now tuned in to the Sports Cypher. Let's go.
They saved the best for last. This is Blaine, the ace of spades. And we're here to give the people what they want. More of me.
I was telling Cardo maybe we could do like a little guess a game, a little improv thing, since a lot of people are doing a prediction. We just do like a top 10 who we think, Keller Williams 1, we think McDaniels 2, Dre May 3. But you know, it's been a whole lot of stuff. I know you probably been hearing some of the rumor mills that been flying around.
Yeah,
Vikings trying to trade up, Giants trying to trade up.
Yeah, there's so many fucking rumors.
Right, it's crazy.
The Chargers are going to take
an offensive tackle.
Yeah. There's so much shit. They even had this rumor. The Vikings are going to trade JJ. They're going to trade JJ to get a higher position to get a quarterback.
They canceled that. They said that out loud a couple of weeks ago. They ain't trading Jefferson.
I know, but this week now there's all these pundits, all these people are saying the Vikings might do this, and I'm like, what the? It's just all bullshit, man. That's why I like the draft, but I just hate going up to the draft. There's all these stupid rumors. There's all these, you know.
I mean, all the rumors I've heard, that one sounds the most ridiculous one to me.
Yeah, me too. I think why would you draft
a rookie quarterback and then trade the biggest, like, top three weapons in football? Right.
But everything else, I've been seeing like stuff that's more logical. Like, I ain't seen the next.
The Colts. They're saying one that just came through my phone before. The Colts are going for a wide receiver. They're going to try to move up.
That was kind of crazy. They want to move up to number four to try to get Marvin Harrison. Irsay, I know Cannon had saw the same thing I saw. But, man, they'll probably have to sell his soul to get up to number
where
four.
Where are they, like 12? No.
No. The Colts is somewhere around 15 or 16, somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
That's going to take a lot to trade.
That's
going to
take
four.
A lot to get up to number four. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to sell his soul to the Cardinals.
And the Patriots are gonna go down.
I can see them trading down.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, I can see that. This the Jefferson thing. I heard that. Most things are just like
that was on Ratcliffe this morning. Ratcliffe goes, all these rumors coming through, and it's crazy. And you know, he goes, there's no way. There's no way they're gonna trade JJ. No way. They would have to be retarded.
Stupid. Well, Carter, you want to keep some of this trade, this draft talk?
I was going to tell you, we could start whenever, man. So,
because we already been talking, maybe you know, let me just do the introduction, and I guess we keep some of this talk already. So that was some good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome everybody to another episode of the Sports Cypher Podcast, man. I'm here with Blaze and Ricardo. Jersey
What's
will
happening?
Be here soon.
Yep. Hey, Blaze, what's up? Mm-hmm. What's going on, out there in podcast land?
So as you hear, everybody, you know, we're talking about the draft, and April is mostly known as live season out draft. So many speculations and so many
posturing.
Different. Yeah. But, you know, everybody got to play the game. You know, everybody play the game. But just the Jefferson thing is the craziest thing I heard, though. But we see. I'm excited for the draft, man, because they got a bet line going. Would it be 10 trades It's like a little Vegas line you could bet on. If it's 10 trades or more, you put so many money, you could bet on it, or bet on the over-under. So, you know, the over-under, things like 10.5 or something like that. So
I don't think they're going to be 10 trades in the first round myself.
They were saying eight. They were saying eight.
I think it's going to be closer to eight or seven. But I bet the under on 10.5.
Okay, then the other thing is, will it be six quarterbacks gone by round 15?
I think yes. I think. I'm going to say, well, let me think about that.
Because, you know, you have the big
three. There's going to be five for, I think there's going to be five for sure.
Nah, you know, the question is how much people love Bo Nix.
Right. That's but the wild card.
Isn't that he supposed to go to the Vikings?
No, he
was supposed to go to Broncos. Yeah, Denver.
Yeah. But Denver also like McCarthy as well. So
then might have to move up for that then.
But McCarthy, that's the one that the coach of San Diego used to be his college coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they were saying that was another rumor today. They were saying that he's going to go for him, and then they're going to, and then they're going
to San Diego,
and they're going to trade their quarterback. Yeah, it's all
on, that doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, you, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush.
No, whatchamacallit? Their quarterback is not the old Chicago quarterback. Way different circumstance, like.
That's I honestly, I love the draft. I can't wait to the draft tonight, but I just hate the posturing and the lies. And
that's a spoken mirror, is that?
Yeah. I wonder if it was going to be the big shocker. I wonder if there's going to be a big shocker trade tonight. I'm just wondering, man. I wonder if there's going to be a big, I wonder if T. Higgins is going to get traded. I don't know. Just wondering.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see the Vikings moving up to three, though, if the Patriots, but they're going to have to give the Patriots, or even to four, but they're going to have to give the Patriots, if to move up to three, I mean, the moon and the stars to get to number three. Like, right. Because the Patriots want a quarterback, too. So it's like, well, if we're not going to get the person we necessarily want, you're going to have to pay us, like, I mean, that's probably. Although it's the third pick of the draft, that's probably two first-round picks.
No,
like the swap for the one next this year and their pick next year.
Right. And then also I saw they said people want to get to number four, but the Cardinals' asking price is too high. But, yeah, hey.
That it should be.
It should be.
Because like, they're comfortable.
Right.
You know, whatever. Right.
Well, last year I think the Cardinals traded down and then they traded back up. Some they did a move like that. They traded
because if you're the Cardinals, maybe you want Harrison. If you or neighbors, and you're like, well, if we trade out of the top six, we're not going to get those guys. Yeah, so like they might be.
But
congratulations,
everybody! Everybody that's listening, y'all probably know what happens because the episode not going to be released till Saturday, and we recording Thursday before the draft, so.
Yeah.
Everything we're talking about is speculation, where we can have literally on wax that we can hear our thoughts before the draft, right quick, but the draft has already happened. Oh, it's a paragon. Oh, it's a magical. Well, the space time continuum is shifted. Oh. But I'm thinking. Four straight quarterbacks. I'm thinking Williams, McDaniel, May, McCarthy. I'm thinking the Chargers will get the offensive lineman. I'm gonna go bold there, but I wouldn't be surprised they get.
Who do you have McCarthy going to at four?
Giants or Vikings?
Okay, gotcha.
But I guess the Broncos could be a dog horse. They like them too, so it's always a dog horse.
I could see Denver moving up into the top four.
Yeah. But if not, but this was also so. I saw that the Giants like Odusier more than neighbors.
So, I think that's dumb. But I guess. I mean, by every metric, neighbors or Harrison are just, I mean, I guess.
Me too, man. I don't know. Once again, that's a rumor, though. So that doesn't. They just might.
I'm not saying they don't like him. I'm just saying.
Let's go with the elite of it. Let's go with the.
Yeah.
It's right. Right.
Like, you can't teach speed and you can't teach twitchiness, and he got that elusiveness. Like,
right.
And yeah, I'm not saying Romo's
with that, right.
Well, trash or nothing like that, but I think he's definitely second level. Like, I haven't read anywhere that he's on the level of those
level
other
of
two.
Neighbor. No, yeah. Yeah, he's the third guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Then I believe I got the Falcons getting the pass rusher. We're gonna see, bro, because the Bears are interested at 9. They should want to upgrade the O line to help protect Williams, but they're also interested in a receiver as well. And I think if
I think
followed them.
How do you pronounce his name?
Huh?
How do you pronounce his name?
Rome Odunsiyeh.
Odunsiyeh. That's a crazy spelling, boy. Odunsiyeh, I could see him going. Well, you just beat me to it. I think he could go to the Bears at 9. I think that would be a good landing spot. But basically, those.
But why would the Bears need a receiver? They already have two good receivers. Maybe they should go get the tight end.
Yeah, but
Keenan Allen's already is in his 30s, right?
Yeah, he like the.
Mm-hmm.
And has his history with injury.
But last year in fantasy, he was ranked number 3, and Wesley was ranked number 7. So you have 3 and 7 there.
But they say a couple teams do value a three, like another team that values a receiver, and a 3-wide receiver set is the Jets. They would want to probably take a doozy over a tight end. They have a 3-receiver set of Williams, a doozy, and Wilson.
I think the Bears are going to go for their second pick is going to be offensive lineman because they got to protect that dude.
They should, bro. Like, that's what they should do.
Or maybe they trade back.
They can trade back and still get a
good still lineman, get a good offensive lineman.
I'd rather get a premier lineman, though, man, to protect.
There's there's 10 good linemen, right?
Right.
The two they talk about is the guy from
Notre Dame
and the one from Alabama.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Those are the two.
And if they get the one from Alabama, like, I don't know. I would rather get a for sure dude that may translate to be a Pro Bowl player for years, man. I don't know.
Somebody said, no disrespect, buddy. I read this today. They said, drafting an offensive lineman early in the first round is like bad medicine. It tastes horrible, but it helps you get better. Right. I just thought that was so funny. It's true, because it's not a sexy pick. You know what I'm saying? But look at the team to win.
Just like I had to have good linemen. Somebody, I was like, they say a lineman cannot be the best offensive player on the team. It got to be a skilled player. I'm like, why not? Because Martin, I feel like coming into this year, before Lamb took that step, I feel like Martin was our best offensive player. He, like, I don't know. Some people overlook offensive linemen so much and don't really give them the credit they deserve.
I will say this, though. If your offensive line, if you're the best player on your team is an offensive lineman, like, consensusly, you're probably not that good of a team. I'm not even going to lie. Like, let's think of a team where...
Well, you need good offensive linemen because the quarterback, especially for a rookie quarterback.
Oh, you do?
For any quarterback.
Okay, Cleveland, Joe Thomas, right? Probably the best offensive player on their team for a long time. How did they do?
Yeah, but like the Cowboys coming in, before Lamb had this breakout year and put up those crazy numbers, what is crazy to say that Martin is the best, Zach Martin is the best offensive player on the Cowboys? We had Arnie Pollard coming off that, you know, one decent year he had.
Ezekiel Elliott was pretty good when he was good.
We're talking about coming into 2023 season.
I still would have said CeeDee Lamb was better. But
he was coming off a 22-14 intercept to the touchdown ratio. That's not good. And 8 fumbles. That's not good. So was it so far fetched to say we were still a good team, but because we still made the playoffs year before, but was it far fetched to say Zach Martin is our best offensive player? Just looking at that, like I said, Lamb didn't have nowhere near the numbers he did this year before the season.
Right. No, that's fair. Mm, you make a good argument.
I think it's get back to the Bears. I would think they would do. I don't know, man. I can't call, because they might be like, this drive is so deep in linemen, which it is. Receiver falls or the tight end falls nine. We can maybe still get a solid starter in the second round and still have the elite player, the solid starter to protect Williams. I don't know. Bears in a good spot. Bears in a really good spot.
Yep. That Carolina trade was all the love last year. And let me tell you, if Bruce, his name Bruce Young, right? The quarterback? For Carolina?
Bryce Young.
I'm sorry. If Bryce Young was in this draft this season, where would he be drafted? Second round?
Yeah.
Middle of first round.
I don't think he'd be in the middle round. I think he'd probably be in the back of the second round because.
Now you know that last year at this time, we didn't think we thought he was great. He was supposed to be really good.
I didn't think anything about him one way or the other myself. I guess the pundits, but you can only compare people to the people around you. So he was great compared to his other classmen coming out into the draft. But
that's what I'm saying.
But CJ was better. Yeah.
Right.
CJ was a better pick, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and but that's the Colts person might have. Yeah. Yeah, but I think even without hindsight, I think most people would have said that just off talent or projections, I don't know if he would have been. I can guarantee you wouldn't have gone first this year.
Yeah, I think he would have. Mm-hmm. I think
Bryce Young would have.
Coming out of college, his numbers was better than Penix. It was better than McCarthy. So he would have been up there with those guys. So he would have been top 15.
Okay.
Just like I feel like McCarthy and Penix would probably go top 15. Man, I can't wait for this draft tonight.
Me neither.
Wait. All right, man. You ready to get us to some of this up?
Let's go.
All right, man. So let's get into the rest in peace. Ronnie Garcia, 24 years old. He was a prospect with the Houston Astros. Had in a car accident.
Rest in peace in the Dominican, I believe.
This is like the second like prospect that died via a car accident, bro.
And this is like the millionth one that's died in a car accident in the Dominican Republic. I'm not trying to be like.
No.
It just seems to happen a lot. It's
crazy out there. Right.
Yeah.
Man.
I guess traffic laws just really ain't a thing.
Mm. Right. So we have Roman Gabriel. He's the first Philippine-American quarterback to play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the league MVP in 1969. He died Saturday at 83 years old.
Rest in peace.
And rest in peace.
Yep. All right, people. Players.
I can't believe there was a Filipino, an Asian quarterback before. Before a black quarterback.
Oh, okay. So it's because it was in the 60s, right?
Yeah, because he started in 61.
Right. Right, yep. And he won the league MVP one year, too.
So. He must not be very Filipino.
Gardner Minshew is Filipino?
Yes.
Oh, so why'd you say that? That's crazy.
Based on that.
Filipino to me, but
he's white. He has a mullet. Oh, I don't know. Does he still have a mullet hair?
Okay, that's only for white. Okay.
Well,
Minshew Asian last name.
Not a Filipino last name, though.
Man, I don't know Filipino names like that.
Filipino last names are Spanish.
Usually. They usually like Spanish. Yeah. Minshew not to be Spanish? A part of Spain.
Minshew.
No.
And these racist views are brought to you
by... I wouldn't say gonna, the racist view. They just
if you're gonna cancel somebody, view. cancel Buddy. Don't cancel.
No. Now y'all making it racist. Now I didn't say nothing bad. I didn't say nothing bad at all. It's just that I just didn't know.
Nah, Minshew's not Asian, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay. Players getting paid. And let's start with the Lions. We're gonna start with offensive linemen. We're gonna start with Penei Sewell. He got a 4-year, $112 million contract, 85 guaranteed. He is now the highest paid lineman in the league.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
And he's a complete and utter monster, by the way. Utter monster.
I wonder when he was drafted.
When he was drafted?
Yeah, where he was drafted.
He was drafted in the top 10. I think he was like number 6 or 7 when they took him that year.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. 6, 7, 5, somewhere around there. He was
top 10 for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Penei Sewell. I'm sorry, let me see him. When was Penei Sewell drafted? Let's see when this young man was drafted. 2020, 7th overall.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so that's when he came out. Next, let's get to one of your favorite receivers, Cardo. Amon-Ra. And probably one of our favorite receivers, actually, Blaze, to me. Amon-Ra St. Brown, known as what, Blaze?
Mm-hmm. Sun God.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Actually, someone in my dynasty tried to snatch him. I have the Sun God. And when I picked the Sun God, people were laughing. Who's laughing now?
You laughing with him straight to the bank, huh?
You here, Jersey?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's happening?
Straight to the bank.
How are you, brother?
Well,
good.
Everybody.
What's happening?
We have Jersey.
From Jersey. That was a classic sports cipher.
Yes.
It's like he just Big Jack just ran out of words. We got Jersey from Jersey.
Oh man. So Jersey, right now we at the players getting paid. We talking about Amon-Ra St. Brown with his 4-year $120 million guaranteed. So the average is equal with Tyreek Hill at 30, but he's getting a little bit more guaranteed money than Tyreek Hill is.
Yeah, that's the highest paid wide receiver in football right now.
Based off the guaranteed money.
Good to be the Sun King.
Mm-hmm.
The Sun God.
Excuse me.
Hey, look, but I see what you're trying to do there. The whole Lion King reference, right?
Yeah.
I see where you was going with it. Absolutely.
Oh. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, what y'all guys think about that? Just a great move the Lions doing.
They must have had a lot of money in their back pocket to put out the two highest contracts at their position in the same offseason. So
back in a couple of days apart from each other.
Yeah.
And they're trying, even though it's not close right now, they're trying to lock him down for the some years as well.
Who? Trying to sign who?
Jared Goff.
Oh.
Trying to lock him down for some years. Extend him. Yeah.
I think they see that the NFC is potentially a
up for grabs.
I think it's potentially up for grabs for them. I think that they see that they're the up and coming team. That if the Cowboys were to, because they have to think about if the Cowboys were to not. Not likely, but they still have to consider if the Cowboys were to not get a deal done with Prescott. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about, you're talking because they're not going to, all those 2 years that they added, those are void years. But, you're talking about the Eagles on the other side of their window. Then the Cowboys would be, in essence, on the other side of their window. the 49ers is all they would really have to deal with as far as a super. Yeah, it's smart for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nobody else you worry about? You worry about the Packers?
I'm sure that they're concerned about the Packers, but I don't think that they're thinking. I think they think they can compete with the Packers, like, right this moment. But I mean, right. like,
I think the they think they can compete with anyone in football at this moment.
Right.
To be honest with you, I don't, you know, I agree with you about you know, the windows of opportunities for the other teams, but I don't know if Detroit necessarily looks at it that way, because they're like, our guys are young. Like, we don't really care what y'all are doing. Like, you know, like. Right. But the other team should be concerned, for sure.
Right.
God, the other team should be worried.
Yeah. Because the Lions are going to be here for a little while.
Yes, they are. So you're telling me they got the Snickers, they ain't going nowhere? Hungry, why wait?
I think they got a nice little 4 or 5 year window that just opened up.
Yes.
Okay. And another person who got paid, Andy Reid, signed a contract. It's a 5-year extension, highest paid coach in the league, but the numbers have not been released yet.
Nope.
Which is interesting.
Right.
Well, Belichick was getting, what, $25 million? So I guess it should be up there.
Belichick not getting no millions.
Well, I said he was.
No, I'm messing with you.
I wonder if he's going to just take the whole year off or do some stuff on
no,
TV.
Actually, he's going to be on TV.
Oh, okay. I figured.
He's going to be on ESPN Plus tonight for the – well, like I said, by the time the listeners listen to this, it'll be Saturday. But, yeah, he's going to be on ESPN Plus with Pat
McAfee.
He's a draft analyst for tonight. That's what he's doing. But of course, he's taking the year off.
What is Bill Belichick going to say about a daggone draft? He better not say.
Let me find out if you watch ESPN Plus tonight.
Let me get out of my daggone couch for the fans.
Hey, but the thing is, he might have drafted bad, but that doesn't mean he can't break down players.
Let me tell you what
I don't want to pick them.
Let me explain to you the complete irony. Fans, let me give you what you want. You want to hear the complete irony. You want Bill Belichick, arguably the disproportionate to how good he is at everything else football, worst receiving analyst in all of football history, breaking down.
But he was good at defense, right?
He drafted the defense.
But this draft is not great. This draft is not that good at defense. That's what makes this ironic. What is it very good at, Cam and Ricardo?
Wide receivers.
Yes. So there's few people I'd like to hear least from. As a matter of fact, whatever Bill Belichick says about the receiver that someone drafts, I am immediately feeling the opposite.
Yeah. I think he's going to say they're good. That should be his analysis. They're good. Does this? I'm gonna
no,
write it
actually,
down for him.
Actually, they said that he's really pretty much he's funny and personable when he's not the coach. I believe it.
He's probably an entertaining person when he's just, you know, out of football beam of mode.
Right.
I think I've seen him be funny in it. I mean, I've laughed when he's said things in interviews. He's dry and. You know,
he got the dry wit type of comedy.
That dry, like, yeah.
It's usually at the expense of somebody else.
Yes.
But
yeah. Okay. Oh, man. So let's give a congratulations to Nelly Korda. Takes the Chevron, the LPGA Tour with a win, and that makes the 5th consecutive win in a row for her.
Mm-hmm. I think that might be a record or title.
Yes, either a record or title record. 5th consecutive win. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right.
That's really hard. Like,
right.
I can't think, like, as an individual sport, I can't think of a harder game to play than golf. That's a humbling game.
It is.
Man. But let me see what's next. We have congratulations to LSU gymnastic team. Won his first NCAA gymnastics title Saturday with Cal and Utah placing second and third.
Okay. I wonder if they have anybody that's going to be for the great spectacular gymnastics in the Olympics. I wonder if there's anybody that's going to be present for that. What are the rules for that as far as, like, now are they considered eligible now that their season's over?
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder, too. I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea. Interesting to know, though. So we also have a congratulations to Tyler Reddick winning the Talladega. And not only did he win, he did it with the owner of his of the racing team, Michael Jordan, there. Jordan said it was one of the most exciting things to witness. It was a crazy ending, a big old pileup. Rex, he was able to elude that and get the win by a couple of milliseconds. And the car that came in third place actually slid in third place on the side of the car and came in third.
Mm. So Michael Jordan said, this is what it feels like to win as an owner? Didn't know.
He said he felt like basketball, except he has no control over nothing. He was just watching, and it was like, he said it's one of the most exciting things. So, yeah, I guess he got that owner's...
Can I give you guys my breakdown?
Yeah, what's your breakdown? Yes.
This was boring as fuck, but I won money. So it was good. Yeah. That's what Michael Jordan was thinking at the end. I won money tonight. That's
You got to remember, he's from North Carolina. Isn't he?
So he probably grew up in Brooklyn.
He's been watching people turn left for a long time.
Yeah.
That's a North Carolina. With the late James Jordan.
That's true.
Right. That was so he actually that was might just like Elvin Kamara when he pulled owner of a racing team, and he was really in it and tried to get other people in it. So,
but I say that in jest. I think whenever you are a part of any kind of organization that wins anything, you feel great elated about it. Yeah.
Right. Awesome sauce. Right.
But I think he was happy that he won money.
He loves to win money.
He does.
Yeah.
He was just happy that he had money on the line.
I think he loved to win money. And he loved to win and win money.
Yep.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Go on, Mike.
All right, y'all. We have a boxing match that happened. Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney.
Whew.
$12 million.
So Blaze, what's your thoughts about that? You checked out some of the highlights from that fight?
Yeah, I actually watched it. I rewatched it because I missed it. I totally forgot about that fight on this weekend. I had it. I could have watched it. But Haney got knocked down 3 times: the 7th round, the 10th round, 11th round.
Yep.
This was junior Walter weight, so it's 140 pounds. It was a really good fight. Actually, Haney got hurt in the first round. After the first round, it was over. He was getting outboxed. He was holding on. He was wobbly. It was a good fight because Haney was supposed to win. Like, everyone had Haney.
Yeah, everybody
to
had
win.
Haney, yep. Mm. That's why they say Garcia bet on himself. And then he put a $2 million bet down on himself and won $12 million from it.
Yeah.
All I was thinking while you guys was talking is, I weighed 140 pounds since like the 7th grade.
Yeah.
That's all I was thinking about.
So you're a junior, you're a junior welterweight at 7th grade.
Yeah, when I was in the 7th grade. Yeah. But I think I was much rounder than they were.
Maybe not more round than Ryan Garcia was, because another sidebar to this was that, you know, he weighed a lot headed into the, he was 160 on fight day, which is not, you know, any fight, that's some stuff that I would, any fight or any,
I think he said he listened to Floyd Mayweather for that.
He listened to him, but what he
yeah, be, Because the thing about the weight, there was a big controversy about the weight, because the other fight that Haney fought, I think the guy had to come back down to 140. In this fight, there was no stipulation to that. So he didn't have to, Ryan Garcia didn't have to come back down to 140. He had to clock in at 140, and then he could, after the fight, he could go back to his regular weight, which was 160.
But you know what the crazy part was? He went back up, but he was so fast, bro. Like, everybody was just giving props to him how fast he was. Like,
moving. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'm confused. I'm sorry. How much did he weigh, not at the weigh-in, but, well, at the weigh-in he was 160 pounds?
No, 140. 43, I believe, right?
Okay, but his regular fighting weight is 160, y'all are saying?
No.
Well, he went back up.
Because a weigh-in takes place typically the day before in boxing.
Right.
So what is very interesting to see is what, and we do this in wrestling when we reign the night before too, but it's just not as usual, how much you weigh as you're walking around weight. Because I have literally weighed 155, and I literally weighed the day that I told you all that I couldn't walk off the mat. It was 155 the night before, and I was 140. And so, but that's not, you know, somebody like Floyd Mayweather does not do that typically, or, you know, many.
Well, he does. Yeah, well, he does, because remember, Floyd Mayweather, he doesn't. He takes the fine. You get a fine if he takes the fine, and he stays at his walking around weight. Pretty much all the fights, he would take a fine. There's like, he would be $25,000 fine or $50,000 fine.
What's $50,000 to him?
Well,
I guess that's a smart move.
Well, the reason that I feel that Garcia allowed this to happen was because Haney is because, remember. And I thought somebody posted it. Maybe I just read it on Bleacher Report, but I thought one of y'all posted it. He paid him $1 million per pound that he was over fight. So fight the weigh-in. And Haney applauded him because he was a man of his word. He paid him $3 million, I think, because he was overweight, out of his pocket.
But
143 instead of 140.
Like, bump those fines. Yeah. Those fines are going to the commission. He's like, you're going to put $3 million in my hand. I'll take my chances.
But the thing about it is, Ricardo, see, this is so it's to the advantage of the fighter. If he goes down and he stays down, you're usually weaker because you got to stay down. You got to stay at that weight. But if you go back up to your normal walking around weight, then you're stronger. Like Cam said, was saying that he was still fast. He was still fast and stronger.
But I was just saying, so there was a 17-pound...
That's what I was about to get to. So
water weight.
In one day?
Yes, water weight.
17 pounds in one day? Oh, so he just drunk a bunch of water.
Weight. No. Okay. No. He didn't drink... No, it's the opposite of what you're saying.
Oh, he drunk it's a bunch of water. That, it's then that he lost
literally...
Weight.
He spit in a cup, probably. Like I would just sit in a... I would put my freaking, like, books on tape for my class and sit inside of the bathroom and put towels under and spit in a cup and sit in one of those plastic suits in the, so yes, I would gain 10 to 15 pounds the next morning. I would eat a couple string cheeses and be 10 pounds heavier.
Wait. I'm so confused.
Because he's losing all this water weight.
It's not
before. It's not water weight.
No.
You're dehydrated.
I was saying it's not real weight is what I was going to say, but I was just
letting you say. You dehydrate yourself and then you hydrate yourself back up. It's crazy It's crazy that they go up so much weight, like 20 pounds and 17 pounds.
Shouldn't that make him sluggish?
Not necessarily, but maybe. Yes.
If he would have fought at 143, I think it wouldn't be to his advantage. He would have been sluggish, I think.
Because it seems like it's not a...
You drain your body.
But it seems like... Doesn't sound healthy, huh?
It doesn't sound like it's an advantage to... Get that heavy that fast. It seems like you should be slow and sluggish.
Although sluggish, but you're hitting this with the power of a 160-pound man against a 120-pound man.
Yeah, even though you're a little, you might be a little slower, I guess you're still... Well, he might not even be a little slower.
You're not even necessarily slower.
Right, because... Because
I thought he would probably be feeling waterlogged or something. You know, like, he ever drunk a lot of water and it felt like that extra water.
But he's not drinking a lot of water. It's the reverse of what you're saying.
He's probably drinking normally.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just normal.
It does.
So y'all basically saying he drunk water to bulk back up to 160 right after.
No. He just ate like he normally did, and but all
that's
that.
That's crazy. You gained 17 pounds overnight. How the hell you do that?
So Cam starved himself and drank nothing for a few days.
Yeah,
I don't understand. And sweat it out.
Well, saliva is water, so he was just getting rid of.
I literally used to sit in school and spit in a cup all day.
I just didn't know what that meant. I got it now. I got you.
No,
got you.
Literally spitting in a cup
just to remove just the,
getting right, the water weight right.
I used and to sweating do other it out. Things that I won't mention on this program. Yes.
Okay.
That's point five. That's 0.25 pounds. Yes, I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, bro! The things you learn on the sports
shave hair, podcast. People shave all the shave body hair, yeah, all that.
Mm-hmm. Man,
and he still and y'all gotta remember, he still didn't make weight because he still had to pay that $3 million. Now he still missed weight.
Wow. Well, Garcia was the winner. Oh, a lot of people saying, Heaney, stop talking about that. You want Tank. You want to fight Tank. You can beat Tank. You can handle Tank, and you couldn't handle Garcia. So some people say, I don't want him talking about a tanker, a fish tanker, a tanker truck.
Yeah, go.
A tank top. He said he just mentioned nothing with Tank in it. Like,
well, Haney's dad got in a huge fight with Mayweather. On I guess on FaceTime or some
Instagram,
kind of, Instagram. Like yeah, they got in a huge fight over it.
He's also requesting now a fight like where they're both at weight now because you know that is always going to be what he said. You know now, you know what I mean. Now that's the escape hatch.
Yeah. So he wants to take his power.
That's if I was, I don't know what the contract was like, but if I was Garcia, I'm like, F up out of here, bro.
Right.
Right. If I don't have a rematch clause, like,
he probably would. I don't think in order for him to be making demands about weight, he must not have a rematch clause.
Right. Like, yeah.
Trying to make that for yourself, bro. You shouldn't have agreed to it.
Right.
What are you talking about?
I wonder if the 3 pounds would have made a difference in the outcome of the match.
It makes a difference because if he had to lose that weight, that is more. That's like every pound matters. Because if it didn't matter, he would have made the weight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if 4 ounces.
Right. If it was easy, then he would have did it. Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Because you don't ever really. It's like
Nobody just gives away $3 million.
No one wants to miss weight. I'll tell you that for sure. No one wants to. It never has happened to anyone.
Okay. Okay. Well. Let's get to the next day. We got some award predictions, and some awards been revealed the last couple of days, but we still got enough predictions to talk about it as far as the NBA wise. So let's start out with the three MVP finalists, and we'll get our thoughts on who we think should be the MVP. One of the finalists is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka, and also the Joker. So that's the top three for MVP. So who y'all guys, and Ricardo, I wanted to say, that's why I also wanted to bring it up too. Jason Tatum wasn't in the top three normally. Mm-hmm. Normally it'd be one of the best teams, bro. I'm telling you, if you go through some of the track records, it'd be the number one team. But
Jason Tatum, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just felt that he was this number year five. Was, and what did I say he was going to be? More than likely.
Number five.
I said he's going to be five. Right. I said he's going to be five. I said, although I think Brunson was the fifth best player in the league this year. Mm-hmm. They were going to give it to Tatum just because, you know, the numbers the are
number
the
number one seed. Yeah, the number one seed is still right.
And I just think he got the bigger name. Name matters. Now, if Brunson put up the same exact numbers he did this year, next year, he's going to be 4 or 5 in voting. You know, but
because Brunson made more of a name for himself.
Correct. This year, he became a superstar.
Right.
You know.
Right. So, what y'all guys think? Think the Joker gonna win it for the third time ever?
Joker,
became one of 9 players to ever do it.
Three wins, MVPs. No, I think it's gonna be Luka this year. Mm. I think
put the numbers next to it, but I didn't.
I think Alexander missing those handful of games the last week or so of the season might have impacted. And Luka finished super strong.
Oh man, his march was crazy.
So, and Luka's never won an MVP before. Neither has Alexander. Let me tell you, the more MVPs you've won, the harder it is to do it again, even if your numbers are better. Because I'll give you an example.
Alexander, number one seed, Denver number 2, Luka number 5 seed.
Oh, I don't think that matters.
Okay.
I don't think that matters. For in the top 3, I don't think that matters.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what you're about just to say?
I was just going to, Jersey just came back. I was going to recap what we just said.
Who'd you choose?
I picked Luka over Joker. Chase, and and I said the main reason is Alexander missed a handful of games the last couple of weeks of the season, while Luka just finished up super duper strong going into the playoffs. So. And remember this too: the difference between the 5th seed and the 1st seed wasn't that many games. It was like 4 games or something like that.
The first seed,
no more than that.
The first seed was more than
anyway.
That.
Yeah,
I could see any way. Like, I wouldn't feel like. I feel like they all have a good strong case as far as I'm concerned, but for me, like, Luka is literally. I don't really like without Luka, that team would be very not that good. Like, I don't think they would have made the play-in.
And he upped his defense this year. His defense efficiency was more toward the middle of the pack. Normally, he was around like the 200 ranked player in the NBA. He's up. He was up at top 50, actually. He was like 50.
I think no team is more heliocentric out of the best teams than the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm. So let me see. I'm gonna put a guess in, man. I think Luka. The person I think who got the least amount of chance to win it is Shea.
I think the Joker has the least amount of chance to win.
I think it's a down the middle split of chance for me is the Joker or Luka, and I'm gonna go towards. Man, Luka finished strong, but I'm going to go toward the Joker. And the reason I'm going toward the Joker, I really do think, for me, that a team's record matters to the voters. It matters to them. So I think Joker will probably win. But if you're asking me myself without that, I would probably go Luka. But you're asking me to put who I think is actually going to happen, I think it's going to be Joker. Because I think they actually bring the team record into the conversation the voters do.
Mike, would that be 3 and 4 years? Or what
in fact, I want to tell you
that'd be 3 and 4 years. Yep. Yeah, 3 and 4.
He'll be one of 9 people with 3 MVPs.
So you have to start talking about him as a top 25 all time player if he wins this year, in my opinion. Like, you really do. Like, his box plus,
I know he's a top 25 plus, center for sure.
His box plus minus is, I think I either said it to Cam in a message, a text message, or I put it in the group, but I don't think I put it in the group. His box plus minus is like only like 4 people have it higher, like a higher one of all time. And that is like the most respected analytics stat as to how good you are as to what you're adding, you know, like war for baseball.
Yeah, he was top 10 in defense last year. People always think him as a liability. He's not. he's not a liability defensively either.
Yeah, I mean, three MVPs in 4 years. If they were to win a second championship here, you're really starting to talk about a dude who, in his time, I mean, in his time, he's amongst the best.
Right. Can I give a hot take here?
What's that?
That might get me in trouble, depending on who's listening. I think when it comes to cases of MVP, especially, I think there's sometimes a case of reverse. This is just a terminology. Reverse racism or prejudice when it comes to white, really good white players. I'll give you an example. Joker can't play defense because he's not an athletic freak like put black center right. here, right? Shaq or... And obviously he wasn't as good defensively as Shaq or Akeem. I'm right. not saying he was. But that's hold against him a little bit more than I think black people, black players, or even Luka. Remember when I don't know if you guys remember when Luka was drafted in 2018, I think, 18 or 19. I think it was 18.
Okay.
And they was like, his foot speed. He's not that athletic. Da-da-da-da. Same thing they said about Larry Bird. Too,
same thing they're saying about.
Oh, Larry Bird was tenacious on defense, though. Larry Bird was tenacious on defense, though.
Absolutely. One of the best defensive players of his generation. Yep. So I just feel like. I think
people just go off of bias instead of looking deep into the numbers to really like a lot of people wouldn't know that Luka made a really big jump. I was listening to like an NBA podcast breaking it down, and it was like Luka made a super jump defensively this year, and they went to the plus minus on the defensive efficiency. That's how you know that's one of the great metrics too. Like Jer just talked about like. They have often they have it for defense too. It's a great metric.
And
too.
They don't pass the eye test for
right, right,
right.
But some people
you look at them and go. Eh.
But some people just go by what they see in the past, and they
right.
They deem not to always look into things, and things change. And I this year, Luka literally like game two, which we gonna get to the NBA, we gonna get some playoff talk next. Game two, Luka. Kept as a primary defender on George, Kawhi, James Harden, and the two times he checked Westbrook. They was 3 of 17 shooting as him being a primary defender. And he got a block and two steals.
Yep.
That's and normally.
He has length. He's 6'7". You know, like, he has length.
230. He has size as well.
230, right. 235. That's a big point guard.
And as a fan, like, because we're really talking about perceptions here, it is hard to change those biases that come because to be fair, and I agree with both of y'all, to be fair, though, Sengun, Luka, and who was the other? Joker? All have their deficiencies that they would have to. Mm-hmm. They could be a good defensive player if the tools aren't prodigious, it is always an if, right? You're overcoming outliers because there's more cases of people with their, you know,
pursuits. There's more athletic people too.
Yeah, no, like, yes, but those athletic people generally end up making better defenders, right?
Correct.
So, like, you're over. So, like, when you're watching just your team, and then you're watching the ESPN game, and you're watching, and you see that good defensive performance, you're just more like you're likely to write it off as a one off, or like a, you know what I mean? I just think that it's hard to. I think it's good to defer to the people who watch that team every single day, and if you hear people saying, "Look, this is actually something that's changed." Then we should have the humility to try and look into it a little bit more and take it for what it might actually be. But people don't really do that.
Right. Yeah, I think it's also a perception thing.
It's hard.
I think, and you know, and it's not just even us fans at home, because I mean, who votes for MVP?
sports writers,
writers and analysts.
Sports writers,
like,
right?
Yeah,
like these, and yeah, these are people
like
who,
Mike Wilbon. He said his vote actually went
watch,
to
watch as much basketball as they
man, say. Man, who he said his vote went to the other day? Because he said it out loud on the pod.
Oh, for
yeah, he said his MVP
for most improved player. Oh, for MVP. Oh,
yeah, okay. I think he said it went to Anthony Edwards.
MVP. Wait.
Yeah, I think so, man. I'm trying to remember, man. I decided to a lot of podcasts, so let me not know. But he actually literally said who his vote went to, and when he said it, I was shocked. I was like, oh.
And I was shocked. It wasn't Shea. It wasn't
It wasn't the top three.
No, oh, it wasn't one of the ones in the top three. And I was like, oh. So I was kind of shocked. Okay. But I don't misrepresent him though. So I ain't gonna say Andy. But I wanna. Man, I really want to say that though, but maybe I'm wrong though. But he has a vote. So it's writers, which he is a writer too for the Washington Post, right? He's still a writer.
Yeah,
for the
I
Washington
think you Post have to be a writer of some kind. Right. I think that's kind of the.
Because I believe he's still a writer for the Washington Post, so he's still qualified.
No, wait, so no coaches and stuff? Or I guess.
No, I don't think it's so. All, no, it's just it's writers.
Writers. Yeah, it's writers and.
Yeah. I don't care for that. I'm not gonna lie.
That's how it is for baseball too.
Yep,
for the most part.
Yep, the
baseball
because
writers
because
association.
All pro is isn't it some sort of combination of
no,
like
no all pro is NBA the like the league have specific people
NFL,
that pick
I was
all
thinking,
pros.
Sorry, I should have said that.
Oh, Pro Bowl. Mm. Yeah, Pro Bowl.
No,
yeah,
all pro.
Oh, I don't know what it is.
The all pro team.
Yeah, the all pro team like that. That. Yeah. I think it's some combination of coaches. Now,
I think it is a combination as well, Jersey. But yeah, because remember the Basketball Hall of Fame, even the Baseball Hall of Fame, has nothing to really do with the actual league itself.
Who are the voters for all pro players in the NFL?
Because you know the like even Cooper said like in baseball the I forgot the name of the organization that actually runs the Hall of Fame, but obviously they work closely with MLB, but I don't think MLB like has any
say
direct influence. Yeah.
Really? I'd be very honest with you. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Baseball Writers Association that votes in players.
And don't get me wrong, like I think that they're they would, you know what I mean? You would hope that I don't know.
Hey, that's why in baseball, there's some people who haven't gotten to the Hall of Fame for years and years just because writers held a grudge because they were jerks
so, like,
to them while they were playing.
Now I'm going
to
think about those debates me and you sometimes have about who's going to get into the Hall of Fame a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, jerks. Yeah, it's selected by more than 300 national members who are accredited media members covering the NFL. So that's who vote for the All-Pro team in the NFL.
That's all.
Them and the executives.
Oh, I thought you were talking about baseball.
No,
I wanted
to check out
football
first. Yeah, the jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about those other two sports if that was the way it is in football. I just thought football was different.
Yeah, it seemed like they say executives and beat over 300.
Okay,
beat
but
writers.
It is executives too.
Yeah, they say executives too, yes.
Okay, because I think that Ricardo is saying not executives in the other two sports, right?
To my knowledge, baseball executives do not play a hand in
Because executives make.
GMs are executives.
Yes,
and
they
people,
make.
Yeah.
To me, an executive, if I could choose one entity or whatever you would call it, one category. Mm-hmm.
It's a global panel of 100 sports writers and broadcasters for the NBA. That's who that's who make the for NBA. Right.
Give me executives over anybody.
Which Michael Wilbon is a broadcaster as well. He's on NBA the podcast doubled as a TV show he's on, and I think he's a writer for the.
Well, yeah, that's all media.
Yeah.
Oh, media. I thought you were saying like he calls games. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there are
people
who call games who have a vote, though.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reporters and broadcasters that cover the league.
Yeah, broadcaster.
But no executives or coaches or
No.
And it's based off of, and it's based on regular season games. See, when people be getting mad and stuff, like, oh, he had a bad playoff game. Nah, the votes is already in by the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Fans, they're already in.
They say the ballots was due before the right before the start of the playing tournament. So right before Tuesday, the votes was due before the playing tournament, and then they slowly release. You know, as I had been doing. We will get to two people that was that won that release when we get to that category. But
aren't your votes biased by the market you cover? Like, aren't you? How do you have time to truly
I put it like this then, but because you mentioned executives, aren't your votes biased by the team you work for and get paid by?
Exactly.
So it's kind of the same thing, in my opinion.
Not really, because what I'm trying to say is you watch. And an executive's job as a GM is to be well-versed in all of the players, or as many as possible. That's not necessarily the person who's covering the New York Knicks' job.
He also catch every game, if that is a person, to where see everybody come through at least twice a season, you know, at the least.
Right, and I'm assuming there's people from all the markets, so I think it kind of cancels each other out. It's, you know,
yeah,
it may cancel each other out, but throughout the course of a GM's job, I guarantee you they watch or they've seen, or like they're more well versed on a much more deep level than the dude that's covering the Houston Rockets.
So let me give you an example of how I could see bias playing in for an executive. You're a GM, right? Let's say player A gets a bonus if they're on the
top money.
If they even win MVP, you're like, I don't want to pay him that money. I can see a person voting against their own player just because. Because
they're getting out for the benefit of the job.
I don't mean to say that they're not more biased. I just mean to say they're more knowledgeable about, like, how good a
player actually is. A lot of GMs have a bunch of scouts that watch tape that come with the notes to them too. Like,
right? And yeah, that's the point I'm actually making. Because pound for pound, perhaps.
But I think you're gonna find that there's also a lot of people in media that are very well versed. Right. And
I'm not saying they're not.
Yeah, that's why I said pound for pound. You're probably right. But I would hate, for example, Zach Lowe not to have a vote. You know,
no, I don't think they shouldn't have a vote, but I just don't think that. I just think that it should be a combination with the NFL. The NFL is not there is no place that it's just the executives. That's my point. That's not a thing that we've seen.
Right.
There is a thing where it's just the media people. And I've heard a lot of these media people talk.
And it's
especially in baseball, you know, they say that
baseball is the worst. People don't
give them a good interview, a good pull game, disrespectful. Yeah. They kind of take it out on them. They kind of take it out on them.
Just steroids. They just hated him.
That's true. But I'll give you a more even subtle example. Like, Mariano Rivera didn't get 100% of the vote because somebody said no one should get 100% of the vote.
Yes!
Right.
He's just the best closer of all time, bar none. You know, so I don't know. He got like 97% of the vote or something like that.
No one has ever gotten 100% of the vote.
Not even
Aaron didn't get 100%.
Babe Ruth didn't get 100%. Somebody said Babe Ruth isn't a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
but let's think about that for a second.
But let's get back on right quick. Blaze, did you pick who you think will win out these three fellas for the MVP?
No, I didn't.
All right,
who are the three?
Good.
Oh yeah, I did. I said the Joker.
Joker. Yeah. Okay, and what about you, Ferris? Who you said?
Oh, I said Luca.
Luca, all right. And I say I'm going with the Joker. Okay.
Okay. By the way, I think Joker should win. I just don't think he will win. Just to be clear. I think Luca's going to win, yeah.
All right, well, let's roll with Defensive Player of the Year. The three finalists is Victor Wembanyama, is Chick Holmgren, and it's
Rudy Gobert, I think, was the third person.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rudy Gobert, Victor Wembanyama, and no, Bam Adebayo. I'm sorry.
Bam Adebayo. Yeah.
Bam Adebayo. That's three people for Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, so, I think that comes down to Rudy Gobert and Wembanyama.
Yeah.
And they might give it to Wembanyama just because of his defensive plays are freakish.
Yeah. See, a lot of people, somebody was breaking that down. They was like, the Spurs, they're like, oh, man, how can he be the defensive player of the year? The Spurs defense was this. But it's like, when you go look on an individual player, that's, I've been listening to a lot of pads that broke down the in-depth. There was like, he make up for, everybody outside of Trey Jones. Mm-hmm. Trey Jones is the highest ranked defensive player as far as efficiency minus plus ratio at 119. So he was 114. When Wembanyama not on the floor, he's at 120. When Wembanyama on the floor, he's at 114. Everybody else is near the bottom of the league that's in the starting lineup defensively. And he makes up for a lot of that. But in saying that, I think Rudy Gobert, man. He just too impactful, bro.
I give it to Rudy Gobert too.
Why people don't like Gobert, but he is so good. People just really don't. They make fun of him because he cried one time when he didn't get the
which has nothing to do with his defense.
But I'll tell you that I don't care for him either. But that doesn't mean that he's still not the defensive player of the year.
Right, like, exactly.
Yeah, and I just don't care for him because he, during COVID, when he sneezed on my boy in Cleveland.
He touched everything in the media, everything.
Devin, he got COVID, and Devin Mitchell ended up getting COVID over it.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, the article talks about that's
a regret he has to this day, actually.
He could have killed somebody.
Yeah, he really. But anyway, once again, this will. Why it's difficult. I watched Alperen Sengun drop like a boatload of points.
So where's Alperen Sengun from?
Turkey.
Okay. Yeah. Never knew that.
Yeah. So I just it's a bias, man. Like, it's difficult because I watched Rudy Gobert smack it out for Sengun stuff into the into the next row. And I just watched him. He just dominated Wembanyama every time. So, you know, it's difficult. I'm biased. But man. And I just think that the lapses, but the upside was there. There were other lapses other than Sengun, I'm pretty sure, with Wembanyama. I feel like Rudy Gobert seemed to have a more steady season, and that's just a product of
one being a rookie and one being a veteran.
Exactly, but still, we're going for rookie.
That's the
rookie
fact that Wembanyama's in the conversation and made it to the top, I think, is pretty amazing.
There's not too many rookies up for.
Yeah.
Which, don't forget, in the month of March. He had more blocks than 17 other teams in the month of March by himself.
Yep. And that's not the first month he did that.
Right. I mean, he's probably the greatest prospect of all time.
So who y'all got? I got...
We all said Rudy Gobert.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Rookie of the Year. And that's Victor Wembanyama, not even close.
Let's just go by this.
It's Chet Holmgren, who played 82 games this year. One of the only players that did that in the NBA. And Brandon Miller.
Or Brandon Miller. Yeah. Come on, bro.
LOL in my Imani voice.
What about Victor?
Oh, bro, he said that. That was the first thing he said. Yeah,
Victor got in the bag.
Yeah, he was not in a competition for that.
No, I didn't hear him say Victor.
They did say if Victor wasn't there any other year, Chet
would have won. Yeah, Chet would have won 9 out of 10 years he's winning.
Yeah,
right.
But 9 out of 10 years, and he's still not even close.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The next we have a sixth man of the year. Malik Monk for Sacramento, Bobby Portis for Milwaukee, and Naz Reid. This one was actually revealed. Do y'all know the winners or do y'all don't know?
I think Reid won. Hmm? Did Reid win?
Well, that's who I'm rooting for because I know his sister. I know his sister-in-law, and she's wonderful.
Now, make y'all guess.
Yeah. I didn't see it, but I just think that was my guess. Yeah.
Oh well. Yeah. I would have told you that for sure. I would have wanted Blaze.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
I was happy that I am happy. Then I guess Nas Reed won for that reason. And all, but he's the first time I'm ever happy for a Neptune player because that's our arch rival, my high school in basketball.
Oh. Okay.
And play for Neptune, New Jersey, where the $1 billion was won.
Maybe you say Neptune, you may be thinking of some Neptune's beast.
Oh, right they here. Misplaced it? That's where the money was misplaced?
That shop, right? And that's where that ticket was won a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I thought you... Remember we was talking about how... I forgot what elected officials like. They misplaced the
John
Corzine. Yeah.
The $1 billion that he...
Connecticut? Alexa, stop.
The $1 billion he misplaced. I wonder if that... Yeah. No, John Corzine ain't going to Neptune is a hood.
Oh, okay. No. Hey, even the politicians are rich in the hood, bro.
That's true. you're not lying about that. Man. That's so true in New Jersey.
All right, man. Let's get to most improved player.
Yes.
Tyrese Maxey, Coby White.
I saw who won.
Elbrin Shingun.
I hope that the person who won it. It's the person who should have won it. Okay?
I don't know.
So who y'all got?
I'm still, like I said, I already know who won, so.
Okay, what about
and
you?
And I'm biased. And
so are you going with Shingun?
Oh, as I should.
I'll go with Jersey.
Thank Shingun. You,
okay, oh. Carter, who won, bro? Let him know.
Tyrese Maxey won.
That boy. That boy.
I mean, I think if I'm not mad, Maxey won. I think he had a fair argument. To me, it was a coin toss. If you look at Maxey's numbers from last year compared to this year,
it's big jumps. It was big jumps. He jumped from 20 points to 26 points a game. His assists went up. Everything went up across the board.
And again, Shingun missed a month and a half of the season. So.
I think that might have played a part of it too. Yep.
Yeah, and I understand. And listen, I get it. I mean, not only did he miss a month and a half, y'all didn't even add the last part. He missed a month and a half, and the Rockets won 12 straight. The Rockets were the hottest team in the NBA without him. At a point,
right?
That doesn't help your case.
All right. We got Coach of the Year right here, Mark Daniel. That's the Thunder's coach. Yes. Chris Finch, Minnesota coach.
No,
and Jamal Mosley. That's Orlando's coach.
I think Orlando's coach might win.
I hope he does not. But
I think it's Thunder.
I think it's the Thunder coach as well.
I think the Thunder's coach should win. I think that,
but Minnesota can win too. But they was
at the. I was gonna say only three of them can win.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Minnesota. I'm gonna change my vote. I'm gonna say Minnesota.
You don't think they have a more? I don't know.
Because they wasn't nowhere.
Do they have a more talented team?
They didn't even make the playoffs last year.
No, I don't think so. Not necessarily. Nah.
More talented than who?
It's a more veteran team.
OKC. Yeah, but
I think they're almost on equal grounds almost.
Because, I mean, Shea Alexander is as good as Anthony Edwards, in my opinion.
Or maybe a step better.
Maybe.
I think he's better. Me personally. That's just for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that Edwards has a higher upside at this
point. I think he's a better scorer, obviously, but that's true. I mean, because Hildress is also a distributor, but yeah, I don't know. OKC got some nice pieces. I mean, got some nice pieces, man. I don't know. Talent, why that? I don't think
play really great.
Do they have a veteran as good / veteran as Rudy Gobert?
No, not a veteran.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, good / veteran. You know what I mean? Like, he's that good and that veteran at the same time.
Well, I mean, but he was horrible last year, and he was still a veteran.
Yeah, but that was a
what if somebody
made the argument, yeah, this guy helped coach him back to where he used. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, that's why he's in the conversation, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. But like, but Rudy Gobert is who they, but they used Rudy Gobert in the Victor Wembanyama is that good.
And, like, and Carl like, Anthony Towns missed a lot of time.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
He missed about a month and a half.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it can really go anyway. I want the guy who
took the number one team. I want the guy who took a young team to the number one seed in the by far toughest conference. That's who I want.
Okay.
Alexa, what was the Minnesota Timberwolves record?
There was 50 and something.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are third in the Western Conference at 56-26.
Yeah,
56-26. Mm-hmm. Alexa, what was the Oklahoma Thunder's record?
I think they won 58 games.
So far this season, the Oklahoma are ranked fifth in them.
With a record of 25-14. Alexa, what was the Oklahoma City Thunder's record?
What's Oklahoma City Thunder's record?
So far this season, the Oklahoma are ranked fifth in them.
Never mind.
57-25.
Okay. So, what?
One game more.
One game apart.
But, but it came down that close for them to try to, because Minnesota had a chance to get the number one spot. Because the Thunder, Nuggets and the Thunder have the same record, just the Nuggets, the Nuggets lost the tiebreaker to the Thunder.
Right.
Right.
So, I know they won first, but I don't know how much that finger's on the scale, but
everything matters when you're talking about the three best, right?
Right. So let's get to the Cuts Player of the Year, then we're going to move on to some quick NBA
talk. Which I think is a stupid award, but go ahead.
Stephen Curry, DeMar DeRozan, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are the three players up for Clutch Player.
When did they make this shit
this
up?
Year, like, this year.
I have no idea. Can I say that first?
Curry.
I'll let y'all.
I'm going to go with Shai.
I go with Curry.
I just think it's a dumb award. I don't care who wins Clutch Player of the Year.
You have to give the analysis, sir.
Okay, fair enough. I guess it's hard because I haven't watched enough other people's games to see who's clutch. Because to me, clutch is, there's even a definition for clutch in basketball. Like, there's an actual statistic for this. Like, shots made with your team up or down by 5 points of 2 minutes or less or something like that. There's literally a statistic for this. So I'm like, I don't know. I mean, Steph Curry, you want to say he's clutch, but maybe he was. I honestly don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many late crunch time shots in close games did he make? I have no idea. But just for argument's sake, I'm going to say Steph Curry. He's probably going to win because his name is Steph Curry. You know, like, and he's up for an award.
I'd like to say he's not going to win.
But do you feel that?
No, I told you I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. For all the reasons you said, and like,
Jersey, I saw this award, like the three. I was like, wait a second, is this something new? I don't. Right. I was like, this is so dumb.
That like, is like the most pandering to fan. That is like the most money grabbish. ESPN Sports Center.
Yeah,
like I don't even know what the correct terminology, but it is that. It's a mockery.
But I don't understand. I'm going to give you an example, Cardo. That's why I picked Shai.
What it is.
Okay. Sunday night basketball, national broadcast game. Shai Gilgeous came back and hit the game winner to sink the Knicks.
Right.
In front of a national crowd. So I think when people see stuff like that, they'll be like, oh, man, we saw Shai bury the Knicks when they was on a hot run. Had something to play for, and Thunder had something to play if he came back off of injuries and hit the game with a shot to beat the Knicks, you know. So that's kind of what I guess I think they're putting in the clutch. But I guess DeMar DeRozan hit like crucial game winning shots or something like that in the crucial moment.
But you just proved my point right there. Like, you remember that Shai game because it happened against the Knicks. Right. When it came to DeMar DeRozan, you think that happened.
Right. Yeah, but, like, but the
and that's what a sports writer from New York would think too.
Right.
By the way.
Right. And but you know, a sports writer from New York might have seen DeRozan playing the game that hit a game when it shot that I don't, because if it's not national televised, it's different for me being a person who are limited versus right. somebody's job that get to see it in person. And vote
that's true. I would argue that point that I'm not going through right now.
I just think it's a bad award to have. But if somebody's going to say shade, I wouldn't dispute anything because I just don't know. Like, you know, Shea hit the game on national TV. I mean, it's not DeMar DeRozan's fault his game wasn't on national television.
I 100% agree with all of
like,
that.
Like, to him, that didn't make it less clutch.
No.
It's such a perception-based award. Like,
yeah.
But for DeMar DeRozan to be one of the three, I just don't,
because you
will have to, like, you would think would be bigger names like Steph or Shea, but for DeRozan to be on that for a team that was had to make the playoff by going to a playing game,
doesn't he play for Chicago?
He does. Yeah.
Isn't that DeMar DeRozan one of the largest basketball markets?
By size, but not by ratings this year. They wasn't really a great team.
No, Chicago is one of the. Chicago is the up and down. They are one of the basketball cities. I am telling you.
This is what I'm saying. They didn't get national, they ain't get a lot of national broadcast games, put it like
that. No, because they weren't a good team. They didn't have a star on their team. Yeah.
Yes, I hear you. They don't need national broadcast to equip. Like, New York, if they got not a lot of national broadcast, they're a large market, basketball market.
People care about basketball in the town.
That's what I'm saying. People care about basketball down to the woman who was the 3-point shooter 2 years ago.
In the All-Star game?
Well, another girl. I can't remember her name. Like, people care about basketball in a different way. What's his name? Is it Julius Randle was from Chicago? People from Chicago is such a basketball city.
Yes.
But
we talk about touching people outside of Chicago on a national scale.
I just think this is a dumb award. And at least to conversations like this.
But let's move on. We got some other stuff to get. So let's get into some quick playoff talk. What y'all have seen from the playoff? What y'all thoughts, man? Celtics, man. A lot of people questioning the Celtics. The Heat took them out without Jimmy Butler. Celtics with full strength. Got manhandled. It's tied up 1-1. That's kind of what I've been kind of been hearing about that.
Much ado about nothing.
I was like, so I wouldn't be surprised if they just went on ahead and won the next three games.
Me either.
Just went on with their business, you know.
Like, hey, are the Celtics in any danger of losing this series? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Some people feel like the Heat got their number even without Jimmy Butler, so that's been the narrative.
Yeah, no. Those people will be quiet as church mice.
I mean, this was a very different team than last year.
Okay.
Very different team from last year.
Also, Thunder, I remember some people thinking, like, I had a conversation with a guy at the gym. But the Thunder blew the Pelicans out the water. So me and the guy at the gym had a conversation before the Pelicans' last game that got blew out. He was like, I was like, man, the Pelicans can show you Zion to pick him over the edge. He was like, nah. He was like, Zion's just going to mess up the whole floor, everything. He was like, the other guys get opportunities. They can step up. I'm like, but you know Zion the best person on the team. They were like, yeah, he takes away opportunity. But I said, you know what else he does? He forces the coach to put a defensive game plan to the game on him, even though the other players may not get the quantity of shots, but they may get more quality shots because they're not being the vocal point of the defensive game plan.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, lo and behold, this, but I'm about to wrap it up. Lo and behold, they got blew out the water. Mm-hmm. Ingram only had 18 points. He shot 30% from the field. CJ McCollum shot 30% from the field. So when a team don't have a star and the defensive focus is now on the secondary players and they can't step up, you get beat by 32 points. But go ahead, Cotto.
Right. I was just going to say, no disrespect to this person at the gym.
Yeah.
But that makes no sense. It was
a former football player. It's a former NFL player. About four of us talking.
Stick to football, bro. Because nobody ever said, yo, man, we need to sit Jordan so Pippen could get more opportunity. Yeah, like, I mean, your best player is your best player. Now, obviously, there's something to be said about playing within a team concept. But if you ever look at Zion Williamson play, he's not a high volume guy.
He's not.
You know, he's not
very
a ball
efficient
hawk.
With his shots. Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's not. Let me think of a player.
Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram is to me above a ball hawk. He a dude that.
Right. Or I'm going to think he's not a. But there's even better examples out there. Let's say he's not
Allen Iverson.
Yes, he's not that person. But although Allen Iverson has had success, you know, or what's the dude? Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine.
You know,
that needs a lot of shots to get his points. And
yeah,
stuff.
Like Zach LaVine is not going, you know, 8 for 15 scoring 30 points. That's not really his game. I mean, he's gotten better at that, but that's really not
volume.
You know what
shooter.
I'm saying? Like,
right. So let me see what other game. How you feel about the Knicks game? It came out that it should have been a foul on Max at the end of the game, and the Knicks should have never won. Knicks had when they was down to the Philly the last couple of seconds, they had a 4% chance of winning, and they wind up winning the game.
They were down 5 with I think 20 seconds left.
Yeah,
they're up 2-0, and they're about to go to the next round.
So you don't think Philly gonna fight back?
Yes, of course they're going to fight back.
I think it still might go six or so.
This is what I'm saying. Like when they leave Philly, you think it's going to be tied up 2-2?
Maybe, but that's
maybe.
Still, like
that's a maybe.
I just so like the truth is okay. Like, and this isn't good podcast or. I was going to say good television. This is not good television to say, but it really doesn't matter if the Knicks win in seven. That's just like, it doesn't matter if they win in 7 or 6. It like actually doesn't matter at all. It can matter as far as maybe health, as far as fatigue and things of that nature. But like
for the next round,
like going up 2-0, a team like the Knicks, they're gonna win the series. Like,
historically speaking,
had they won that game, we're having a different conversation for sure.
Yeah,
but they did win the game. It doesn't matter.
Just to bring historical context, so teams that are up 2-0 in games in 7-game series, 93% chance of winning.
Factoids. And that's why home court advantage in basketball is so important, regardless of the examples that stick out in history that are, you know, obviously what.
Oh, yeah, because look, Philadelphia got screwed at the end of the game. Yeah, I mean, that's the facts. That's the facts.
Those are the facts.
Now, I will agree with Shaq, which I rarely ever do.
Damn.
He put out an Instagram video where he said when he went through Maxey getting fouled, the timeout not being called, all that stuff, right? And he said, what is the point of the 2-minute report to Philadelphia? They say we messed up and nothing happens. You might as well not say anything.
That's a fact.
And I what agree. I think that's more. That would make me angry. And it.
Well, let me ask you this, Ricardo. Do they when they deliver this report, there's literally. Are you saying that it's just a report saying there's no.
It's just a report. There's no recourse to the actual game.
That's what I mean. Is there a recourse? Is there like a promissory note to the future? That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. Maybe
I guess not.
Maybe it's something they go over with at the offseason with the referees. I don't know. But for all intents and purposes, if you're Philadelphia, you don't care. You know you got screwed. You don't need anyone to confirm it for you.
Right. Yes.
It doesn't change anything, you know? Like,
so, yeah, I just thought maybe there's like a, all right, this is what we're going to do. You know what I mean? No. Like, a, this is the rectification for the future on a call nothing. Like this.
Okay, no. So let's kind of speed through some of these other games. Bucks 1-1 with the Pacers. Y'all think the Bucks can pull it out? Middleton nicked up. Giannis still not back yet. They say he may return in this series. So what y'all think? I had picked the Pacers to win, by the way, but I thought Giannis gonna be out.
I did too.
I thought Giannis gonna be out for the whole first series potentially, but he's trying to come back early.
I think it's gonna be. I think they need that. I think it's up in the air because if Giannis doesn't come back, then it's up.
Yeah,
in the
think it's over. Yeah, I think it's over. Soon he don't come back, but he trying to come back.
I think it's over. I think it's up in the air.
Right. Okay. I just say I think because Middleton seemed like he's hurt too. He's highly questionable to play as well for the next game. That would just leave Dame Dollars and Brooke Lopez and
Dame Dollars could score a lot of points, man. I feel like
he did game two and lost.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but he ain't stopping nobody for real.
He ain't stopping nobody. That's
yeah, Bucks is one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
Yeah, they can put up points in buckets.
That's kind of their thing. Mm-hmm. They score points. Yep.
I think the Cavaliers gonna pretty much outshine the Magic and take it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going to be a better series than it's turning out to be, but
yeah,
Magic are too young.
They're young, yeah. And I think the Cavaliers. You know, I always thought before they just got a great nucleus team, man. Allen, the other power forward name I forgot, with
Mobley,
yeah, with Mitchell and the point guard Darius Geis
deep too.
Yeah,
Darius Garland.
That's a Geis. That was the running back for the Darius
Geis. Oh no, we can't say his name right on the podcast.
Dallas and Clippers up for grabs. It's 1-1. I picked Dallas to win.
I did too.
I didn't think Kawhi was gonna come back, but he's back now. But he's not.
I picked
Kawhi.
Clippers.
I think Clippers. I picked the Clippers okay. too. I really can't remember.
Okay,
I thought there was and, 7.
I picked Minnesota over the Suns, and I still think, man, Ant-Man is showing out right now, man.
I picked the Suns.
McDaniel, one of the role players.
Jaden McDaniel
from
Minnesota.
He outshined Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant was on him defensively, and he was taking it to him offensively.
Is Kevin Durant on the other side?
Other side? Of his career. Game career? Maybe. Maybe. How old is he? Let me see.
I think Durant's about 35.
How old is Kevin Durant?
Yeah, he must. Yeah. It's just like 35. Man, I could have
the other side.
I was saying that this Suns team was going to make a. They were going to make a run ever since they made a run, man. Like they were going to get back.
Mm-hmm. They were going to make a run when they had
Small Paul.
Yeah, Chris Paul, or they,
but they have Small Paul.
Wow, they got Bradley Beal now, and same result. Kevin Garnett and not Kevin Garnett, Kevin Durant. There's just something about certain teams where you go. We know you got some big names on here, but there's a little something missing. The glue ain't there.
Right.
And I look at the Phoenix Suns as that team.
Yes.
The glue ain't there, you know.
We about to step on to our next category, which is gots to be more careful. Okay. So former Augusta National Golf Club employee, he was charged with stealing millions in the Masters memorabilia scheme from the Augusta golf course.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in charge of over these treasures, and he was like taking them and reselling them and making money off these memorabilia that are supposed to be for the golf course itself.
So let me tell you.
I don't know.
Nick, go ahead, please.
More and more, all these employees are just trying to rob their
the bosses,
companies they work for.
Are they not getting paid enough? No, I'm not even trying to be funny. Like,
I just think he's greedy. Why you called him? What was you about to say? You say snake he's.
I was going to say that I think, one, these people are greedy. Because, hey, man, people always stole from the man. Nothing's ever going to change about that, right?
Right.
My thing is, I think people are forgetting the technology involved and how... when. Let me tell you, if people really want to catch you, they can catch you. Especially when you... if this guy stole one or two things, nobody would have noticed. Mm-hmm. If you made a
he kept doing it, bro.
Nobody would have done. Like, even like the guy who the dude for Jacksonville, if he took one flight on a private jet, nobody would have noticed for real. That team, millions of dollars flowing in and out. No one's really like $15,000 is a rounding error for them, right? Literally, it's a rounding error.
So
true. So that's in the petty cash.
Yeah, but when you millions of dollars. Oh no, we're not going to notice that Tiger Woods golf club is missing. No, of course not. I mean,
God forgive Ricardo for convincing me to take that flight if I make it. That first one, because dang on, Ricardo, you just sounded, man, that sounds so enticing.
No, the problem is they forget that they're stealing. They forget that's that they're stealing.
That's it too.
Even.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. You do something once, you're still scared. You don't do it anymore. You do something 15 times, you think you'll get away for forever. Right. Yeah.
Man.
Let's get to our next topic, man. Next topic. Robert Kraft reports and warns Falcons owner Arthur Blank not to trust Bill Belichick. During the head coach interview.
Absolute
Ricardo, yes.
Yeah, but if you're the other owner, wouldn't you think he just doesn't want you to hire him because he's a good coach?
No, because that coach got rid of, like, Belichick left because he probably gave him the choice of, you might as well resign, bro, because I'm going to probably fire your ass. So he let him bow down gracefully and resign from the Patriots.
Yeah, but the proof is in the pudding. Belichick did win.
A lot of people saying Brady carried Belichick.
Carried is a little too strong.
Yeah, but
way
I'm saying
too strong.
Yeah, people saying that.
I remember the time when Belichick went. I can't remember which playoff game is that they let the. Remember they let the team score.
Yeah,
so they could get the ball back. Like, come on, man.
And, but who drove down the field with the clutch touchdown, the field goal?
Yeah, Brady. Right. But to know that he could do that, to be the coach to
most
say
teams
to
are
do
not
that down. Yeah, that was a gamble. When that happened, I remember the announcers were all freaking out when that happened.
Bill
that was something
yeah.
that
he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. To Blade's point, he was crafty, he was ballsy, he was a leader, he created that culture. Some of it was cheating, a lot of it was winning. I don't, though, think that the Falcons coach, head coach, would think that completely. Although, I think it's not like out of his mind. I do think he would think that it's a scorned owner, but I do think that because, and I want Ricardo definitely to really say what he said in the group. But the stuff that he said about Bill Belichick was likely not untrue. It's just doesn't equal a bad coach. And these dudes hobnob together, many of them. They are, they're wild. Well, God bless the dead, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Myra Kraft probably knew.
Their kids know each other, grandkids know,
Ricardo might say something to me. That's my guy. He might say something. I might be like, you know what? Ricardo's saying some true stuff, but like also he's kind of like butthurt about something. You know what I mean? Like both things can be true.
Yeah, we got to make our thoughts a little bit more quicker. But you know
got 10 minutes. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't know what time you had started.
Yeah.
I thought it was like
5:03. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So well, we still got a lot more stuff to get to. My thing was this, though. In the article, he said he took into consideration, but he asked every general manager front office about Belichick, and that's why this whole thing came up. Belichick wasn't even in the top three even before the call to Arthur Blank. Yeah, so...
And that's cool. Like, my thing is, then I'm just assuming these reports are true for sake of this argument. He said you can't trust him.
Right.
So he trusted him the last 20 years to win and guide his team. But now all of a sudden he loses and he can't be trusted to do what exactly?
The article did break it down, some things. It was like personnel decisions, not listening, different stuff like that, saying he don't do one thing with the owner, that Swift and do his own thing. And you can lose trust over years. Like,
oh, absolutely. But he didn't stop trusting him till he started losing his
life.
He trusted him when he won, even when he was lying or doing other things, cheating. Work.
Right.
Yeah. And like I like my old football coaches to say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yes.
So I just think he's kind of crying over spilled milk, in my opinion. But
100%.
100%. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Arthur Blank should have said, "Listen, I'm gonna hire him because he won how many Super Bowls? Six yeah. Super Bowls. That's why I'm gonna hire him."
That goes back to man. A lot of people feel Brady. Like Brady was the difference maker in that. But I digress, man. Let's move on to this next one. The younger brother of Michael Porter, Corbin Porter, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison for a drunken drive crash that killed a woman in Colorado. He was a basketball player for the University of Colorado. He was an up-and-coming star as a freshman. He got into this crash, and a woman lost her life, and he's in facing 6 years in prison right now. And then the middle brother also, you know, he got banned for life from the NBA, so... It's been a crazy
that
time.
That family has had a bad week. Really bad couple week. Weeks, yeah. But, you know, I'm not going to say that I haven't been in cars with people who are definitely intoxicated and driving and things like that. But, you know, I just hope people could, whoever looks can just take this lesson. Like, it's really not worth it, man. Like, you know, I ask them. Dude from the Raiders, Ruggs.
Henry Ruggs.
Yep. Henry Ruggs. You know, it's just not worth it. Then not just for famous people or athletes. I mean, for just the everyday person, it's just not worth it, man. Take a Uber.
All right. So I guess Johnny Manziel's rah-rah protest worked out because Reggie Bush get his Heisman back. For the first time since he gave it back up 14 years ago, he's back on the Heisman poll. He could vote. He could go to the ceremonies. He's recognized again as that guy.
Okay.
So you know, Manziel was really big. We talked about it a month ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tam, I worked for him.
I still feel the same way. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I don't begrudge him getting his thing, but I just, you know, I'm just indifferent to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you did what you did. I'm like, it ain't like he didn't cheat. So, I mean, it's not like they took it away off of false pretenses.
They did.
I guess the rules are the rule, but he didn't cheat the actual game of football.
He just knowingly broke a rule.
Broke a rule for
he
on
got,
the field. That's
he got paid. He got paid
on the field, but you know,
I don't agree. Yeah, like I think that he broke the. Those are the rules. Like he's not above the law. What makes him above the law? I don't.
Right.
It doesn't make him less a good player to me.
Right.
And him getting the Heisman play does not.
But
don't be.
But what happens if the? But what happens if the law is kind of. Stupid.
But that's the law of the time.
Yeah,
laws are laws. They're legal,
right?
Like, and they change. Yeah, but they, and they changed the law now. So now, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he still didn't break the law at the time or break the rule at the time.
Yeah, that's like someone that went to jail for weed.
And that's exactly what Buddy said last time. And I said I'm not going to compare people going to jail to people losing an award.
Me either.
Like, to me, that's just. They're the consequences are so different. I don't think it's a fair comparison. But, like, how does his life change? I mean, I guess he might make a couple more dollars because he could say I'm a Heisman Trophy winner. But he was always a Heisman Trophy winner, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it changes any, really. Because I think
Well, now they got to pay him to come show up to the other Heisman.
Anyway, because those people who...
They weren't paying him. He wasn't allowed to go.
Oh, now he's Heisman allowed to go. I'm sorry, wait.
Heisman Trophy. Awards,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good for him, I guess.
So, Dalvin Cook, he settled out of court with a lawsuit with his ex-girlfriend, accused him of battery and false imprisonment. So before he went to in his Minnesota home in November 2020. So they settled out of court before he even got to court. So what y'all guys think? That's more of a guilty thing that he settled out of court, or he just didn't want
not
to fight
necessarily.
It?
I think it's just a protect my image thing. Yeah, and it's like, before all the sordid details can get out and things that don't even have anything to do with the case get out. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean guilt.
Is he on a team? Is he on a team? He's not signed, right?
No, I don't think he's with nobody right now.
I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. I don't really.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't think it necessarily means guilt.
No, definitely you know? Not. Yeah. Not necessarily.
Now, Diddy was guilty. Who said that?
He settled in a day. This dude settled in 4 years.
4 years, right.
That's not...
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I can guarantee you, this lady did not get $10 million.
Yeah, it's undisclosed.
Or $30 million. Or $30 million, how much ever Cassie was supposed to have gotten.
Yeah. All right, man. We about to go to... He went crazy! Okay, this was a pretty crazy one, though. So, Midland, which is a high school baseball team, and Odessa finished a 23-inning game over the span of 2 days. So these high schools are in Texas. So the first game that Friday was 13 hours. They called it and finished the game on Saturday, which lasted an additional 12 hours.
Computer stop.
So this was the third longest game in high school history.
Were they playing baseball or were they playing cricket? Baseball.
I was thinking the same thing. That sounded like cricket.
And so the end score, they wind up winning. So the end score wound up being 4-3.
So it was
those
Friday
teams must
and
have been
Saturday
very good
night,
or very
like,
bad. Right. They were evenly
that was
matched.
Odessa, Texas. Like
Friday. Yeah, Odessa, Texas. Yeah. Midland. I figured it was Texas. So he said Midland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Pretty swanky part of town.
Yeah, so that's a wrap on the pod. Yeah,
that's
right
old
there,
money.
Man.
Really?
Shut us down.
Yeah. I did it last week, so someone else can. Go ahead, buddy. You want to do it? Or Jersey?
Okay. I thought I did it the week before you did it last week, but I'll do it.
I did it
last week.
No, I said the week before. I thought I did it. The week before.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you had the Friday and Saturday night lights in Odessa, Texas. They gave you 2 days. We gave you 2 hours, and we're calling this Thursday night lights. We hope that you will enjoy your night the same way that you enjoyed your time with us. Mm-hmm. And we hope that as you watch the draft and Caleb Williams gets picked, you know that he is the 1.1A, and we are your always number one overall pick. Why? Because we give the people what they want.
Check us out on Dodge Radio. Check us out on Dodge.
Good job.
Thank you.
Please pick Malik Nabers, Giants. Do the right thing, bro.
Man, Malik.